There's always another task. There's always, I just have one more small favor to ask. And everything is urgent, and everything is now. I wonder what would really happen if I stopped somehow. I'll be there in a minute, just a few places to go. You wake up a few years later, your kids are grown. And everything is important, and everything is not. At the end of your life, your relationships are all you've got. It's your place to stand up and tell the world you've got to rest a while. And everything is important, and everything is not. At the end of your life, your relationships are all you've got. And love to me is when you put down that one more thing and you say, I've got something better to do.
Isn't that just like our lives? We can fill it with so much stuff that we forget about what's most important. So many other details that we take care of, except that which is the most important thing of all. Well, here to bring us our message this morning is a really good friend and a dear brother. He comes from our Hilo Church and our New Hope Hilo congregation. He's a man who is a man after God's own heart. And Pastor Wayne saw something in Pastor Alex Pacheco. When Pastor Alex was a fisherman, he was making good money as a fisherman, but Wayne saw something very special in his heart, and he began to pursue Alex. Alex became a Christian, and when Pastor Wayne received the call to come here to plant a church in Honolulu, Pastor Alex rose up to the challenge and became the senior pastor of our Hilo congregation, and he still is that today. He brings us with him a beautiful and a wonderful message that's going to speak to your heart about remembering what matters most of all. Would you give a good New Hope warm welcome to Pastor Alex Pacheco as he comes out?
Good morning. Boy, Honolulu get plenty of people, yeah? Well, I know I just talked to Pastor Wayne this week, and he said to make sure I tell you that he loves you, and he'll be back real soon. And it's such an honor to be with you today. Every time you guys invite us to come, my wife is sitting over there, Berna. That's the babe, right there, the babe, yeah. And she is a blessing to me. And then next to her is our daughter, Lena. She lives here in Honolulu. So, Lena, would you just raise your hand? Okay. The reason why I did that is that if 1,000 of you will invite her to church, she'll come to church. So, invite her. She's been such a blessing to us and our family. Well, you've seen the skit this morning, and you also heard that song. And I think many of you can relate to that because we all tend to get overloaded in our lives, don't we? Yeah. I mean, why do we allow our bodies to, and our emotions, and our schedules, and our budgets to get so overloaded? I think the answer to that is always the same. It's because we try to do too much. We try to just do too much. And that is why, well, let me ask you this question. Then why do we try to do too much? And the answer to that one is because we forget, don't we? We forget what matters most. Instead of focusing on the few things of life that really count, that really matters, that really makes a difference, we just try to do everything. And as a result of that, we just get overloaded. Let me ask you a real tough question. You ready? How many of you are human beings? Because we're human beings, we have an amazing capacity to both remember and to forget. How many of you forget more? Yeah, okay, you're with me. All right. We remember every single little hurt that we ever had in life, and we always forget the lessons. And because of that, we have to learn the lessons over and over and over and over again. You know, we need to really pray like King David prayed. He prayed a prayer that went something like this. He said, God, remind me what's most important in life. Help me to remember what matters most. And what he was saying was, he was saying, help me to focus on the things that really count. When I focus on what really counts, I don't worry about trying to get it all done. And what happens is the overload tends to drop. So we need to pray what David prayed. Look in your outline. There is a prayer there, Psalms 39. And it says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. How many of you are over 40 years old? Okay, not too many. Oh. All the other services so far, all the old services there. Yeah. But if anybody is over 40 years old, you'll agree with me that you're saying, man, what happened to my life? I mean, 40 years went by so quickly. You know, and this is what David is saying in Psalms 39. He says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. And then in Psalms 90, he says, teach us to make the most of our time. And so this morning, I want us to look together at three truths that we need to remember to help us focus our lives and help us reduce overload. Now, these are not new truths. Everything that I'm going to be talking about this morning, you already know, but we tend to forget. And so it's a reminder today that if you will follow, if you will apply, if you will practice these three truths, you will have a healthier life. You'll have a happier family. You'll have a more productive business. There will be far fewer divorces and separations in our culture if we will just listen to what God has said about relationships. So what is the first truth? The first truth is the best use of life is love. The best use of life is love. We're going to read this next verse together. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Ready, go. Let love be your highest goal. Now, this means that you make it number one priority. You make it the primary objective. You make it your greatest ambition. You make it your life purpose. Don't put it just in your top 10 list and say that just one of the things that I want in my life is loving relationships. You make it number one. Now, why does God say it is all about love? Why does God say to make it your highest goal? Well, I'll give you two reasons. First, God says love is what life is all about. That's the first reason. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, in the Message paraphrase, it says, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. In other words, you can have $1 million, but if you don't have love, God says you're bankrupt. Now, it is amazing to me that too often we act like loving relationships are something that we have to squeeze into our schedule, that we have to find time for quality time, that we have to make time for the people that we love in our lives, that we have to just kind of fit them in our lives as if loving relationships are an important part, but so is everything else. And that's wrong. God doesn't say that loving relationships are an important part of your life. God says that loving relationships are your life. Now, I'm going to be saying this a lot today, and I want you to participate. When I say get it, you say got it, and I'll say good. Get it? Good. Okay. God says loving relationships are your life. Get it? Good. You guys are smart. And that's what life is all about. It's all about love. One day a guy comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, would you summarize the Bible for me? And Jesus said, well, here it is. Love God and love people. That's it. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus is saying the point of life is relationships. Not about achievements. It's not about acquisitions of things. It's about relationships. And if you miss that, you miss the whole point of life. That's the bottom line. What matters most is loving relationships. Now, if that is true, then why do we always allow relationships to get the short end of the stick? When we get overloaded, we start skimming relationally. We fulfill all kinds of other commitments, but we cut back on time with those that we love. We don't give our relationship the time, the energy, and the attention that they deserve because we are too busy with what we think are more important, pressing matters. Now, why do we do that? Because we get busy. Because we get preoccupied. Because we get distracted with less important things. And we focus on the urgent rather than on the important. And I hope by now you know the difference. Not everything that's urgent in your life is important in your life. Get it? Good. You see, as a result, we spend all our time focusing on making a living, getting the job done, finishing the work, paying the bills, making progress, accomplishing the goal, as if that is the point of life, and that is not. The point of life, God says, is love. The point of love, God says, is relationships. That's the first reason. The other reason that God says that you need to focus on love is that's all that's going to last. How many of you bought a new car this year? Sorry. That car is going to get old and scratched. Maybe by somebody else in sitting here today. Rusty. You see, the only thing that's going to last in your life is love. Everything else is eventually going to burn up, it's going to decay, and it's going to fall apart. 1 Corinthians 13:13, there are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is, you said, love. Love. And now, if I was to ask you, how many of you would want to leave a legacy after you die? I believe everybody's hand would go up. If I were to ask you, how many of you want to make a difference with your life? We would raise our hands. How many of you would like to make a positive influence on this world that will outlast you? Everybody's hand should go up. And you know that God has shown us how to leave a lasting legacy. God has shown us how to make an enduring impression. And this is what he says, fill your life with love. He says, faith, hope, and love, these are the things that will endure. And the greatest of these is love. He is saying, love, not work, not wealth is the key of the lasting legacy. It is love. Now, we think that it's all our achievements that people are going to remember. Now, I hate to tell you this, but I came all the way from Hilo to tell you that nobody is going to remember your achievements. Sorry. 5 years from now, nobody will ever care what you achieve. Every trophy that you have ever earned is eventually going to be trashed. Your wife is thinking right now, dust collector. Hey, you remember all the trophies that you got in Little League and Drama Club and Speech Club and your bowling trophies? They're all going to be trash, all of your trophies. And I came all the way from Hilo to tell you that. Now, I've been around a lot of deathbeds being a pastor. And in watching people in the closing moments of their life when they stand on the edge of eternity, they're evaluating their life. And I've never had one person ever say to me, bring my diplomas. I want to look at them one more time. Get me that gold watch that I got for 25 years of service. Show me my award. Show me my medal. Nobody asks to be brought their trophies. Because we don't surround our lives with objects when our life is ending. What do we want when our life is ending? We want people who love us. People who have a relationship with us. Now, here's the point. You are eventually going to figure out in your final seconds that what matters are relationships. So, why don't you figure it out now? Why wait until you're on your deathbed to figure out that things don't matter, that the only thing that matters is relationships? Get it? You're smart. Good. Nothing can take the place of loving relationships. Fame can't. Wealth cannot. Success cannot. You see, success without love is empty, hollow, depressing. Life is not about achievements and it's not about accomplishments. It's all about relationships. And when you get to heaven, God is not going to say to you, hey, how was your career?
Well, I was a good fisherman.
God is not going to say, can I see your bank account, how much you made in your stocks and bonds? No, God is not going to say, by the way, how about all those hobbies that you enjoy while I put you here on this earth? You know what he's going to say? He is going to say, how did you treat other people when you were here on this earth? May I suggest that from this day forward, for the rest of your life, that when you wake up each morning, that you would get off your bed and you would pray this prayer. Would you do this? Say, God, I want to make sure I spend some time today loving you and loving people. Because that's what life is all about. And if you miss that, you have missed the point of life. Now, the greatest use of life is not achievements. It is love. The problem is we get busy and we forget what we actually already know. God's first law of relationships is the best use of life is love. And now here's the second truth. The best expression of love is time. And the way that you spell love is T-I-M-E. That's the way we spell it in Hilo. Let's read this next verse together. 1 John 3:18. Ready, go. We must show love through actions that are sincere, not through empty words. And the next verse says, if you say you love, but you're not showing any time, you're just kidding yourself. Here's a question for the guys. Okay? Guys, on Mother's Day, what is the most desired gift of love? Some would say diamonds. Wrong. Some would say roses. No. Some would say chocolate. Fat chance. See, the most desired gift of love is focused attention. You might want to write that down. You see, my wife reminds me of this all the time. She says, honey, when I talk to you, I want to see your eyes. I want you to use your ears. I want you to give me your time. I want to talk and I want you to listen. I want to commune. I want fellowship. I want you, babe. Focus attention. The greatest gift that you can give anybody is your time. It is the most precious and most desired gift because your time is your life. Say, whoa. Get it? Good. See, your time is your life. Isn't that true? Time is your most precious commodity. You only have a certain amount of it. And God's already decided the time, the number of seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks that you are going to live. And you're not going to get any more of it. You see, you can always get more money, but you cannot get more time. And every time you give someone your time, you are giving them a portion of your life that you will never get back. That's why the greatest gift that you can give someone is your time. You cannot get it back. Your time is your life. Now, Jesus taught that the essence of relationship is not what we do for each other. The essence of relationship is not what we give to each other, the presents and the gifts that we give to one another, because you can give and do that without a relationship. The essence of a relationship is how much we give of ourselves to each other. Are you following me? That's what relationship is all about, giving yourself. The greatest gift that you can give someone is the gift of self. You know, guys, we just don't get this. I cannot tell you how many times men have come to me and say, Pastor, I don't understand this. I work so hard for my family. I provide for my family. They have everything that they need. I buy them gifts. My wife has a new car. All of this. What more could they possibly want? They want you. Get it? They want your eyes. They want your ears. They want your time. They want your attention. They want your presence, your focus. They want you. Nothing can take the place of time. Nothing. Not clothes, not candy, not vacations, not a big house, not money. Nothing can take the place of your time. The greatest, the best use of life is love, and the greatest, the best expression of love is time. Nothing can compensate for that. I got a real strong word this morning right now. I'm going to be tough. Are you ready? Will you still love me after this? Children need parents who spend time with them. And if you're not going to raise them, don't have them. Sorry. See, nothing can take the place of time. All the money in the world can't replace your time with your wife or with your husband or with your children or those whom you love. Whenever you give your time, you are making a sacrifice. You are making a sacrifice of your life because your time is your life. But that's what love is all about. It's about sacrifice. Sacrifice is the essence of love. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. It says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. You see, if it isn't a sacrifice, it is not real love. You might call it that, but it's not. If it isn't a sacrifice, it's not real love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love, legitimately love, without giving. Love is the essence of sacrifice. Love means giving up. Would you write that down? You could put it in your own words. In order for me to love, I need to give up. Giving up my ambitions, giving up my preferences, giving up my likes, giving up my a particular thing that I think is fun, giving up my energy, giving up my time for the benefit of somebody else. And that's what love is, giving up my time and my preferences for the benefit of someone else. It's a sacrifice. Get it? Now, many of you are in time-starved relationships. You live in the same home with each other, but you are passing each other by day and by night like ships with a goodbye kiss here and there. And your relationship is shriveling, it's shrinking, it is drying up for a lack of attention. A lot of things can rob relationships. Work can rob a relationship. Activity can rob a relationship. Hobbies, fun things that you like to do on your own can rob a relationship. Television can rob a relationship. And if my wife was not a Christian, she would have thrown something through that screen already. Computers can rob a relationship. Now, if you want to revitalize a dying relationship, a dying marriage, a dying friendship, then it's going to start with you investing some more time. Now, I always share this with our married people in Hilo, and I think it's a good word for us today, and that is, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. And so if you are spending and investing all your time elsewhere, maybe at work, maybe in your sports, whatever, it's going to get green there. And you wonder why your relationships aren't doing so well. The grass is greener on the other, is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. You need to invest in your relationship. Amen? So the best use of life is love, and the best expression of love is time. That's how you express love. And then the third truth, the best time to love is now. Now. Not next week, not later, not when things settle down, not when we reach a certain standard of living. It is now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Okay, look at the person next to you and say, get it?
Get it.
All right. Okay. Let's read this next verse together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Ready, go. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Stop. We should do good for everyone when?
Now.
Very good. The opportunity is there. Ephesians chapter 5. Go. Use every chance you have for doing good. Proverbs 3:27. Go. Whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. And listen, if it's good for your neighbor, it is certainly good for your family too. There are some activities in your life, folks, in which procrastination is a legitimate response because some things just aren't that important and you ought to put them off. But since love is the most important thing in life and is the top priority in life, anytime you choose something else over a loving relationship, you have just made a, can I say this in church? Dumb mistake. Yeah. You acted like a fool. How many of you like to be called fool? I mean, all you Honolulu guys. We're at this down the street and all you Honolulu guys are there and just one Hilo guy coming up the street. And he says, hey, fool. You know what you're going to say? We're going to lick that Hilo guy. We're going to give him dirty lickings. Call me a fool. Nobody wants to be called a fool. And yet we make foolish decisions all the time. All the time. Anytime you choose anything over a loving relationship, you have made a wrong choice and you have become foolish. I got to come all the way from Hilo to tell you that. So let me ask you, why? Why is now the best time to express love? Because you don't know how long you're going to get the opportunity to do it. Circumstances change. People die. Children grow up and they leave home. You are not guaranteed a tomorrow. If you're going to express love, you better do it
now.
Chuck Colson wrote, and I quote him, As I think back on my life, my biggest regret is not spending more time with the kids. Making family your top priority means going against the culture where materialism and workaholism are rampant. It means realizing that you may not advance as fast in your career as some do. It means being willing to accept a lower standard of living, knowing that you are doing the right thing for your children, giving them the emotional security that will draw on for the rest of their lives, unquote. After reading that, I thought, you know, there's a question here. Are you willing to make the financial sacrifices? Or are things more important than people? George McGovern, one of the one-time presidential candidates, wrote a book about his daughter, Terry, who died of alcoholism at a young age. After his daughter had died, he got Terry's diaries and started to talk to all her friends, trying to figure out why. What was she thinking? And that he had discovered that he was not as good a father as he thought he had been. Because while he was spending 18-hour days fighting for political causes, his daughter Terry was at home writing in her diary that she had missed her daddy, but he probably didn't miss her because he probably didn't care about her. And so McGovern wrote in his advice to parents, show more love to your children by spending time with them, especially during their younger years. No matter what it costs, so that you will have no regrets. And he writes this, he says, I would give everything I have, and I mean everything, for one more afternoon with Terry just to tell her how much I love her and have one more of those happy times when we used to have so all too infrequently. You see, folks, the question is not if we're ever going to regret this frantic, overloaded, stressful limit of life to the max lifestyle that we have. It's not if we're going to regret it. The only question is when. When it's too late? After the family has fallen apart? If you have children, folks, the time to love them is now. A few years ago, Cherry Boone, one of Pat Boone's daughters, wrote a book about her struggle with anorexia, and she titled her book, Starving for Attention. Let me ask you something. Who do you know that is starving for attention? You know what the answer to that is? Everybody. Everybody is starving for attention. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to change, or are you going to stand before God one day and explain why things were more important than people? What excuse are you going to give for not putting first things first in your life? Who do you need to start spending more time with? What do you need to cut out of your schedule? What financial sacrifices do you need to make for things that really count? You see, folks, the best use of life is love. And the best expression of love is time. And the best time to love is now. Amen? Amen. I know that your pastors probably say this to you all the time, Pastor Wayne and Pastor Elwin. You came to church this morning because it's the thing to do on Sundays and for this church Saturdays as well. And you're thinking right now, Pastor's getting to say, he said amen, and it's time to, I'm out of here. And you got plans, and you think that church is over. Let me tell you something. Church has not begun yet. You see, church begins when you walk out the doors. Now, Pastor Wayne, he has the best messages ever. I tell you, boy, he can really preach the word. He's got good messages. And I know he would agree with me that if you just keep saying, Pastor, that was a good message. Pastor, it really got into my heart. Thank you so much. I know that he would agree with me right now, and he probably says this all the time. Now you got to apply it into your life. Church begins now when you walk out these doors. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today challenged. We thank you for your word. Your word does cut sometimes. There might be someone here today, Lord, that got cut deeply because you're trying to get into their hearts and you want to do some miraculous things in their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you love every single person here the same and you want us to change, to become more like you, more Christ-like. And so we thank you for your word today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there might be someone here this morning that is saying, Pastor Alex, boy, that spoke to my heart, but it's so hard. My schedule is full. I've been doing things that is almost the opposite of what you've been saying. I've been watering the grass somewhere else. It is so hard for me to make a change right here. I want to speak to your heart right now. It might be because you've never accepted the love from God that he has for you. There might be someone here that has never accepted Christ into your life. You see, Christ is available for you. He can help you do the impossible. He can help you with your schedule and he can direct you. And he can show you the way. And so right now, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, but with an open heart, that is all that's required of you, open heart. You might want to pray a prayer like this if you have never accepted Christ, to say, then Christ, I want you in my life. I want to love the way we just talked about today. I want to put it first place in my life. This morning I realized that my life is brief. And I want to use it to the max of what you intended it to be. And so today, I ask you to come into my heart. Guide me, direct me. Help me with my decision making. In fact, Lord, give me a second chance. Forgive me of all my sins that I've committed, the things that I've done wrong. And give me new life. The Bible says that's called being born again into a new life. And that is available to those that are praying this prayer right now. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. All those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so in your hearts right now, if you're calling out to God and you're doing it for the first time, I'm going to ask you with your head bowed and eyes closed, if you would just respond, lift a hand up right now. And you're just saying, I am asking Jesus Christ into my life. And I'm doing it for the first time. And I'm responding right now. I want to pray for you. So hold your hands up real high. Lord, I am praying for these people right now. And I just thank you for their response. They are responding to you, Lord. Asking you to enter into their life. And I just want to say to them, Lord, that they have made the best decision they could ever make. And we thank you, Lord, that you're still faithful in touching people's lives. You may put your hands down. Now, Father, we know that it's so easy to get distracted from what is most important in life, and that is knowing you and loving you, and knowing people and loving people. Forgive us from being task-driven instead of love-driven. Forgive us for valuing things and accomplishments and the praise of others more than we do people. We thank you, Lord, for this wake-up call this morning. We know that you love us, and we thank you for that. We're grateful for that. Now, Lord, let us take this love that you have given to us and give it to others. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone would say, God bless you all. We love you. Get it? Good. Sure.
Tell Pastor Alex how much you love him again. Would you show your appreciation to his heart? Great message. Let's all stand together. Yeah, what God originated in his heart in Hilo, he came all the way over here just to let us know that God really loves us. He wants us to take it now. No matter we got it, we're going to have to live it. So it starts when we leave these doors. Leave differently from when you came in. Would you take a hold of someone's hand next to you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the way that you love us. Lord, you gave your only begotten Son. You allowed him to die on the cross and to be raised again, Father, to show us that there is new life. And Father, we want to receive that love now. And Father, now that we have it, we want to live it for you. Help us, Lord, to live it and to show it among and share it among those that are around us, our families, our sons and daughters, our friends at work, just people in our environment, Father, the neighbors that you've brought into our lives. Thank you, Lord. We want to worship you and we want to love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's welcome those who said yes for the first time. God bless you. Would you have a great week loving the Lord and loving one another?